Bike sputtering on me.
That's not what you want on a cross-country trip.
Yeah, you're telling me. Looks like my journey ends here.
Nah, mate. You ride with Geico Motorcycle Insurance and got their 24/7 emergency roadside service. They'll fix your bike right up. Where you headed, anyways?
Oh, I'm going to Cromhenge. You ever been?
Nah, can't say I have.
It's like Stonehenge, but shiny.
It feels good to ride with help. It feels good to Geico. Emergency roadside service is optional coverage.
In the dark, I played my dream. Burn the bunch of blows like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Great in the world like it's meant to be. I'm a coach of B.I.O.B. I'm the king. Back in love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 426 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and lately a lot of prostitutes. Well, good to be here with y'all. Okay, Monday. It feels like forever since William and I did a podcast together. Been doing a whole lot of interviews as of late. So anyway, here we are back in the saddle again. This episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st in Harmony, North Carolina. Now, if you can't be there in person, you also have the option to be able to do it online. So just go to the website. You'll check it out. We're going to be headlining the great Barbara O'Neill there and a whole lot of other backup dancers. TPC, Delta Tango Papa Charlie, that is. Tango Papa Charlie will get you 5% off. And the ticket prices are going to blow your mind for 5 days. Anyway, you want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat. Give a thumbs up and tell everybody we're live so they can go ahead and start censoring this. All right, Nessa's Hemp, also 10% off with promo code PERMA. Folks, I use that stuff every single day. So you might want to go over there, check it out. I have got to get the interview that I did with her on Rumble. Make sure it's suitable for YouTube, because if it's anything of a health nature, they want to, you know, take you down for just about anything. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. It's nice and overcast with chemtrails today. They've been hitting us hard today. They got this storm scheduled in the forecast this week, and they got to make sure that happens or try to steer it out of the way, because we have had a very dry spring. How's it going over there?
Yeah, well, we had two solid days of nothing being dumped on us. And then, of course, they're still doing it at night. I mean, with all the mountains over here, you should be able to see the mountains on a regular day. But some days, man, it is so doggone bad, you can't even see the mountains in the distance. Sure, it's funny how they don't have money to pay the TSA agents. They don't have money for, well, they got plenty of money for war, but, you know, they have all the pockets in the world when it comes to dumping poison on all of us and our children and grandchildren. How about that? So everybody wonders why. Every time somebody tells me this is the greatest country in the world, I'm going to ask you to qualify that. I'm going to ask you to qualify it. Most of the people that say that have never been anywhere else. I'm not saying we have got enormous problems. But good night, man. I mean, how free are we when they're just indiscriminately dropping poison over us in the form of barium, strontium, all this other stuff in the world? And sadly, I've honestly come to the conclusion, son, that it's going to take mass starvation before the major, before anybody in the American population ever wakes up. I mean, this is proven time and memoriam throughout history. So
if you can't get people to pay attention at this very moment, like with everything going on right now, having just gone through COVID, and you can't get people to pay attention right now, I think the only thing is going to be starvation. Not even the threat of starving is enough to get these people to wake up.
You know, I was telling Scipio Eruditus in our Bible study that, you know what, maybe I'm kidding myself. You know, if everybody collectively, not everybody, clearly not this audience for the most part, but if the U.S. public yawns collectively, when they found out that wealthy elite are doing the most unthinkable things to children. And that's why I said we're in a watershed moment. I think if there is not justice on this, I think this country's doomed. Folks, I know that's one heck of a way to start a podcast, but there's your motivation to get on your knees. Because honestly, am I kidding myself to think that anybody's going to care about what's being sprayed from the sky when you don't even care about what's happening to children? I mean, there have been people that actually said, I have no idea that even happened. I'm like, oh, okay. Wow. Have a nice day. Anyway,
COVID proved that they will allow it to happen to their own children and not do anything about it, let alone somebody else's children.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, that's why we are the United States of Amnesia. So it's good to be here in the company of a bunch of people who do not have that position, by the way. Yeah, and I like what Tammy says there. We all need to collectively, we need to stop paying taxes. Yep. It's theft anyway. Folks, there are ways around that sort of thing. And maybe I'll have one of those people on the program. I was a while back, and then it just kind of fell through. But there's that guy, Paymon Montahea. There's a number of others out there. And, folks, I won't personally go into what I'm doing, but, I put my money where my mouth is, and, there's a whole lot of, I mean, this is just flooring me at what we will put up with, just like Thomas Jefferson said, and also Frederick Douglass said it in his own way, that, you know, the amount of tyranny, I'll paraphrase it, but basically the amount of tyranny you will be under is exactly the amount you'll put up with. So that's where we are right now. All right. On the happier things, talk about some farm news here. And then William's got he's going to spring a trap on some folks out there. So I can't wait to do that. farm news on this end. So we had another sheep and she was enormous. I think she just gave triplets down there. And your mom, as we speak, is almost certainly going down there right now to go play with them. So, I mean, the Lord has blessed us in immeasurable ways when it comes to our harvest on our sheep. And the cool thing is, I honestly haven't been able to get a close to most of them to find out even what the sex is of them. So I don't even know what we have yet. So I'm going to have to corral these guys and find out what's up. It'll make itself known here before too long, but I'll find out which ones need to be banded. There'll be ones destined to the freezer and then others that will sell or trade to be good sires in another flock. So that's what I would honestly prefer to do is take some of these really good grass genetics that we have. They haven't been given any drugs and all they eat is grass. They don't get anything. I mean, they get zero supplement. I mean, well, let me take that back. They get minerals and stuff like that, but by and large, they don't get anything else. So what do we got here?
This one is from Dant ZLRT. Fellas, do y'all have ChemBuster / CloudBuster? If not, you need one. You guys messed around with one for a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, we got one from this one guy. It worked at first, and then it didn't. So I don't know what to say on that score. I'm appreciative for all the folks that are doing the work on this sort of thing, but haven't yet found anything that seems to work sustained for any sustained period of time. All right, so other things we got going on around here, planting the spring garden. Folks, I'm not blowing smoke when I say we're planting more food than we have ever planted, ever. And we're putting it in places that have never had food grown there before, and there's a reason for it all. I mean, good night, man. Look around you right now. The Strait of Hormuz is shut down. The Houthis are talking about shutting down. I mean, boy, they could do a whole lot of damage if they were to hit off the side of Egypt. I'm starting to think that all of this is coordinated. I'm not believing for a minute that all of this is just organic. I think this is exactly like William brought up a minute ago where we're talking about COVID. I think that was a population. I think it was what Max Kaiser called a way for them to taper a Ponzi scheme because they knew that we're bankrupt. I mean, it just came out the other day that the United States is insolvent. So what better way? It ain't just us. It's every so-called country out there that's in the same position. Well, it happened in World War I. It's believed that it happened in World War II. And it wouldn't shock me if it's happening right now where collectively, and this is a more conspiratorial side of history, but where they believed, you know what, these guys are getting a little bit too uppity. The money Ponzi scheme is about to run out. We need to go ahead and thin them down a little bit. Because us sending 50,000 troops over to the Middle East makes no sense in any capacity whatsoever. Not with a million troops could you do what they say they're going to do. So if they put them in there, this is, I mean, pray for these guys and gals, y'all, because they are in harm's way like nobody's business. I got to believe, son, that this is a ruse. I really don't even believe it's going to happen because this is too stupid to be stupid.
It's the place where empires go to die. I mean, that's usually said about Afghanistan, but the terrain is very, very similar in Iran. Not much of a difference as far as thank you so much, Bren Z, for the donation. This is where empires go to die, and I think we're going to keep on that same path. I think the empire is going to die there for sure. But sadly, it's us dying. It's not the people who are actually putting on this war. Like the elites in charge that are putting on this war, they don't go fight the battles. They don't go fight the wars. They don't go rucking through the mountains and get blown up or miss body parts or come back completely destroyed mentally, all that. They don't suffer any of this. They get the kickbacks from the private military contractors and get to hide the last Ponzi scheme. So if you have anybody that's in the military right now, I don't know what you need to do to get out, but now would be a good time.
Well, they got record numbers of conscientious objectors right now, and I can't blame them. It ain't out of fear. This is just stupidity on a level that I don't even know how to. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail right now. Believe me, I could, and I could in a big way, but I'll weave it in where it makes sense. So, planting stuff like you wouldn't believe, folks. And then also, don't forget about those perennials out there. Do not forget about those things. Oh, Celeste Hill, $20. Thank you so much. If you break bread, I won't fake dead. Thank you very much. So some other things we got going on out here. Transforming. Here's a little hack I want to give y'all. This one is, I mean, it was actually inspired by the late Elaine Ingham. Sorry, she's no longer with us. But here's one hack that I want to pass on to everybody else out there. So one of the things I'm doing right now is, in order to up the amount of compost that I have around here, now I can sit here and make it from scratch, which I've done, or I can go buy some lousy stuff for real cheap and transform it where they've done about 50% of the work. Of course, I'll go through. So what does that look like? So on my end, what that really looks like is I'm going to go out there, I'll bring it home, and as I put it in the stall, I will sprinkle, because I guarantee it's going to be dry as a bone. It always is. And it's going to smell awful. That's a good indication too. So as I put it in the stall, I'll take a bucket or so, or a watering can, and I'll hit it with soil saviors all the way up. And then I'll flip it a couple of times until I no longer smell anything. That tells me that the soil saviors has done its stuff. Then, and that's probably going to take a month. And then after that, I'll go through, flip it again. This time I'm going to put my compost extract in there, and I'm going to put in all the stuff I want. And if I wanted, I could go ahead and make a thermophilic pile if I wanted to. But folks, if you have one pile that's really, really good, you can expand that. You could take one cubic yard and conceivably turn that into 1,000 cubic yards. Just go back and watch the videos. We've done it on YouTube. We've done them on Patreon. You can check them out. So that's one cool hack out there, folks. If you just had a bucket of compost and you had some soil saviors, you can get yourself to making that lousy stuff. And I guarantee it's lousy because we've looked at all of it under the microscope. Yep. So you can turn that stuff around in short order. You were going to say something, son?
No, to add to that, I would also try to find the cheapest possible. If you're going to buy compost, find the cheapest possible thing that you can find that'll fit the role that you need. Because any of the higher dollar, like every landscape yard comes out with like a mix that they have of like topsoil compost. That's all garbage. Everybody sells like this mushroom compost. I haven't seen any fungi in any of this mushroom compost.
No, like, you haven't either.
In the name, you would think, oh, this is going to have a decent amount of fungal content. I didn't even see dormant fungi in those compost piles. So, yeah.
I did, son. I'll take that back. I did see one time where the kind of fungi you don't want to see, you know, the stuff that comes out looking like mold and mildew. Yeah, I've seen that. So you don't want that. So anyway, get a really good compost and you can transform that stuff. Other things going on here. Look, I made a ton of bone sauce. Everybody bought it out as soon as it was online. For the folks out there still wanting it, we're going to have to wait until the burn ban is over. So we, North Carolina, the whole state right now is a burn ban, which is strange because it rained the other day. But anyway, real dry conditions, can't make that stuff right now. Don't worry, I'll let you know when I get it up. As soon as they quit with the ban, I'll have some more made. Another thing, folks, in light of everything going on in the world, think about all your preps. And that's exactly what we're doing. So everything I need for the next couple of years, I mean, I don't care how insignificant you may think it is. Get it. I mean, right now, Michelle and I are going to go out this week and buy a ton of seeds, really, really good seeds from really reliable places. I mean, even when the price is up on the seeds, it's still, I mean, think about a packet of broccoli seeds that you spent maybe $2-3 for. Let's say it was $5. Well, let's just say you get a few of those broccoli plants to come around. I mean, this paid for itself how many times over? Thank you so much, Nancy. Bone sauce is the bomb. Yeah, thank you very much. But yeah, think about all those. Examine your preps. I mean, your water. Start there. Start with your food. I'm going to get back to freeze-drying entire meals. I mean, for people that just want to freeze-dry eggs, and that's fine. I mean, do that if that's how you want to roll. But I tend to freeze-dry entire meals. So I'll take those eggs, mix them with some potatoes. Maybe I'll put in some of that lamb sausage I got down there. Put it all in one meal. Because if you find yourself having to dig into that stuff, do you really want to be thinking about, oh, man, you're already going to be in a stressful situation anyway. I want to make absolutely positively sure that I don't have to think that I'm not putting brain effort towards making a meal if I had to get into that stuff. So I want it already made. And go heavier on the salt if you're using a freeze dryer. And by the way, if you need one, we got one in the description box down below. All right, so son, let me kick it off to you. What's going on in your world?
Speaking of freeze dryers, next consultation I get, that's exactly what we're getting, is a doggone freeze dryer. Hopefully one of the big ones, but that thing is a game changer. If nothing else, if you're not into preparedness at all, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, it still eliminates garden waste. So like whenever all your tomatoes come in all at once, you can put them in the freezer and then save them for the freeze dryer and save all of them instead of having them go bad on the counter and everything. It just eliminates garden waste. So if you don't have one, think about how to get one and use Dad's link for, I think there's a, is there a discount on that? I think it's like,
no, they don't give any discounts, but if you want to help us out, you can go to our link down below.
Okay. So today, very exciting. Because I did the silage tarp test today. So what I did was, because I see this very, very often of people putting down silage tarp in their garden, and then they use that to kill seeds or to prep the garden in preparation for their spring garden and everything, to just use like a, you get like a blank slate. And that's legitimately what you get, is a blank slate. Today I just took off the tarp and then I took some soil samples, and I literally just got done looking at it under the microscope right before this podcast. And the video is going to come out after this. I got to film a few more parts of the video, but the video is going to come out this evening. The results, the silage tarp. And now, in the same bed, half the bed was silage tarp. The other half was the alternative, which is putting down cardboard or cardboard paper, mulch on top of that. That was the alternative. And I suggested doing that instead of the silage tarp, and then you get the same results as far as weeds go. Now, the biology results, the soil biology results, the part that I mulched came out a fungal to bacteria ratio of 1.2. The silage tarp ratio is 0.2. There was barely bacteria in the silage tarp. I didn't even see, I saw one ciliate, which is considered like a facultative or anaerobic organism that eats other bacteria, but it, that was about it. Like, I didn't see really anything under the silage tarp. It's not that it was in bad conditions. It was just completely dead. It's not like it was anaerobic. It was just dead. It was devoid of all life. No predators other than that one ciliate that I saw. And then very little bacteria as well. There wasn't even much bacteria in there. 35 micrograms per gram of life in that soil, which is horrendous. That is absolutely horrible. Now, the mulch, fungal bacteria of ratio of 1.2, and you want to be around that one stage, that 1-to-1 ratio of fungal to bacteria, and about half of a gram of your soil should be living organisms in perfect soil. And then you should have predators and all that stuff. The only thing that was lacking, the fungi did better than I was expecting, but the only thing that was lacking in there is that I need to get more nematodes in there, which I might do a video on how to do like a nematode extract and then apply that, beneficial nematodes. A lot of people talk about nematodes in a condescending way because they're familiar with the root feeding nematodes, with the switcher nematodes. That's a very small aspect of nematodes. There's a whole bunch that eat all kinds of stuff. Most of them are beneficial. Just a very small section that are bad that gives a bad name for the rest of them. And that's the only thing I really need to increase in that particular bed. Same. In fact, it took me longer to apply the silage tarp than it did for me to put down the mulch and the cardboard paper because I'm combating like Texas winds. That was what made it longer to install than the other side. Same exact bed, same duration of time. I did both of those in the same amount of time. Now, I wonder if the results would be a little bit higher in the mulch section if we have been getting rain. We haven't gotten much rain at all lately. But even if we did get that rain, it wouldn't make a difference under the silage part. It killed everything, guys. Like, I did a preliminary test about 5 days in, and there wasn't much of a difference, like a negligible difference between the two. Now, I did notice that the results improved since, like, the test that I did before doing either one of them. The results did improve in the mulched area a little bit, not a whole lot. But the applications of soil savers that I put out, the applications of compost extract that I put out, all of those meant nothing to the silage tarp area. The little rain we did get meant nothing to the silage tarp area. There was no natural decomposition going on at all. There was just rot. And the big kicker, and this will probably deter more people than anything else, I had no ants in that bed before putting down that silage tarp. I had gotten rid of most of the ants in the garden because you have either have ants or you have worms or you have that transition period between the two. Like, ants give way to worms in good condition. I had no ants in that bed. I put down the silage tarp, waited. Now the whole bed is filled with fire ants. I got lit up trying to just film the video. So I went from having no ants to having a whole bed full of ants. Just by putting down the silage tarp. Now, silage tarp. I understand that there's a lot of people on YouTube that promote using a silage tarp. There are people that I don't think really know any better. Like, there's a guy named Haas Tools. He puts out great content. Sells great equipment and everything like that. And he also promotes using a silage tarp. He's never had the opportunity. He's limited understanding of permaculture and then also hasn't had the opportunity to look at the before and after results under a microscope. He's still on the hard inputs for fertilizer on your garden. That's fine. We all got to make that transition at some point. Now, Justin Rhodes, him, because I did, before I did this, I wanted to see who all was putting content out about using silage tarps. Justin Rhodes, multiple videos on using a silage tarp, and you could see the first time he did it, a bunch of views, and every subsequent video after that talking about the silage tarp, it's like he's trying to chase those views from that first video talking about silage tarp. Because if I say, hey, I got a way to kill all the weed seeds in your garden, super easy, very little work, and then you have a prepped garden before you even have to plant, a lot of people are going to click on that, and a lot of people are going to watch it, and a lot of people are going to do it because it's, in their minds, the easiest method of getting rid of the weeds that they've ever seen before in their life. And a lot of no-till gardeners do this because they don't till their weeds in because they know it's no-till. Justin Rhodes, I did some research on his behind. He put out his first video talking about the silage tarp. Bunch of views. And then every video after that, and he's even acknowledged in a video that didn't do too well that, hey, this isn't a good method because it cuts your bed off from respiration, from any kind of water, from any kind of natural decomposition that's going to go on, which is just composting in place. And he's acknowledged that, but he keeps putting out the same doggone videos because he knows he has guaranteed views from that. And I'm saying all of this to give you guys like a warning. Just because they're putting content on YouTube does not mean that they're doing it to push good information. Most YouTubers are putting out content on YouTube to get more views. They're going to put out videos that produce more views. I mean, I'm even like guilty of it to some extent. Like, I'll have an idea for a video that I might not be particularly interested in doing, but I know some people are going to want to watch it, so I'll do that video anyway. Not a whole lot. A lot of the time, I'm just filming what I'm already going to do. But yeah, so there's a fair warning to you guys trying to use silage tarps. Don't use silage tarps. I would say if you are just dead set on doing the silage tarps, do it no more than 5 days before the real heat gets in, before the real hot summer sun gets in. And I saw negligible effects, but I also didn't see much weed suppression in just the 5 days either. So with that, and then also, side note, continued farm news. We're also growing as much food as we possibly can. Every square foot of this house where I built a bed is filled with food. And then now that I freed up one more bed, I've got two beds that I'm saving for sweet potatoes. Those sweet potato slips will get in about mid-April. And then I have one more bed that I can fill with food. And I think I'm going to do potatoes because I still have – I bought a 50-pound sack of sweet potatoes, and I still have about 25 pounds left to plant. And I already have two 4x40-foot beds planted of potatoes out there. But we're trying to grow as much food as we possibly can.
Yeah, you can't go wrong doing any of that, especially right now. And sadly, most people are not going to wake up to it. But I'm glad you did that thing regarding the silage tarps, because I've been hacking on about this thing forever and a day. And I'm glad you actually, I mean, you and I, of course, didn't need the experiment to know exactly what was going to happen. I mean, you are absolutely suffocating the ground underneath. Yep. And folks, weeds, I just did a video the other day. I don't weed anything. I never weed. I will cover up a bed with more stuff. I will not weed. And so weeds aren't necessarily a bad thing, especially if you just get down to your management. So we're going to be covering more of that too. And I'm glad you got that done. So
real quick on that note, the weeds, there is no competition for nutrients. There is no competition for water. The only competition is for sunlight. So as long as your crop that you're trying to grow to eat is taller than the weeds, there's no issue at all. And the weeds are actually going to be beneficial. You're better off planting amongst weeds than you are putting a silage tarp on the ground.
Well, that's Fukuoka 101. I mean, he would just pull out what he needed to plant. And that's what I did in that latest potato video. And they're not weeds. It was actually a cover crop in there. But that was essentially what Fukuoka did. And that's permaculture 101, folks. I mean, you don't have to go out there and make this just a nightmare to do. I mean, you can get these things done and get them done in record time, and you can have a pretty impressive harvest. Just got to bring the right dog to the hunt. Now, real quick, Gina's saying, yeah, I don't see a freeze dryer link in your info. I'm sorry, Gina. It may be in one of our previous videos. It's in the description box, or it's at the website. And then Farmer Cheryl says something here that's pretty important. Did you see any, I mean, I'll ask the question. Did you see any microplastics in the silage tarp soil also?
Yeah, it wasn't there long enough to notice any microplastics. I mean, it's kind of hard to sometimes you see like colorful flakes in the soil. I will say I've never seen any colorful flakes that would indicate microplastics at the demonstration site, but I have seen it in other people's soil samples. With that, and then also it wasn't there long enough for the plastic to start degrading or anything like that. Total, I did it for about a month in total, so a little bit over a month. A month, give or take. So yeah, no microplastics in that particular setup with that particular soil with brand new plastic.
All right. Well, good stuff, son. So, Mountain Readiness, y'all, coming up May 1st through the 3rd. That's going to be in Harmony, North Carolina. William and I are going to be there. We're going to process a sheep for all you people that are asking how to do it. We're going to teach you a method that works no matter the animal. We're going to take him down right there. We're going to gut and skin him, and we're going to break him down. And if I'm not mistaken, we might even just eat him there as well. So Mountain Readiness, and folks, it is the best doggone festival you don't know about. And I can't think of a better one to go to at a time that we're in right now. Things are about to get real, folks. It's all I can do to keep from going full apocalypto on you with what I know, what I see is unfolding and what's happening. So whatever remaining skills you need to get out there, folks, right now, while it's still relatively calm, you might want to acquire those things. All right, Micronic Silver, PERMA will get you 10% off. Micronic Silver, I use that stuff all the time, practically every day, especially when they're spraying pretty heavy out there. I use that nose spray and try to counteract whatever I just brought in. And Wave Watch, yeah, Billy 100 will get you $100 off that watch. Yeah, go check that thing out. Everybody in the family has one, and we are very, very happy with them. So Billy 100 will get you $100 off. And then don't forget about Soil Savers. Everybody's asking about that. It'll also be included in the description box down below. Use that link. So we went a little bit long in that first segment. I'll go ahead and hit them right now because we have somebody to send something in. First good news article, magnesium, the overlooked mineral that could transform your health. Take a lot of magnesium every day, folks. And one cool natural way you can get those is through leafy greens, like things like spinach, seeds, nuts, legumes, dark chocolate. Some of those things I can't really have right now, but they have cofactors with things like potassium, folate, all those wonderful things. So think about that magnesium out there. And if you got to get a supplement, that magnesium breakthrough is what I use, but I try to get as much of it as I can. But when you sweat to the extent that I'm doing right now, sometimes I got to supplement because I'm going a little bit overboard and I'm not necessarily getting enough through my salt. All right, here's another good one. Adaptogenic herbs, nature's answer to stress and elevated cortisol. Okay, so you want to be looking at things, and some of this you can grow. I mean, things like ashwagandha, ginseng, grow some of that sang out there. You know, those are really, really ginkgo biloba, maca root. I don't know if anybody's growing any of that nearby, but anyway, these are things that will actually lower some of that cortisol in you right now. And given the state of affairs right now, I'm thinking a lot of us have more cortisol than we should. And then finally, we got this last one that came in. It was from a listener out there. Michelle printed it off and gave it to me, so I'm sorry I can't reference who it came from, but it was a fire-resistant test that was done on rammed earth tire walls, and it achieved a 120-minute certified rating. In a nutshell, they finally took a tire wall like you would have an earth ship or something like that, covered it with the plaster. Long story short, y'all, this works better than any building material that we know of right now. If you look at this, if you can burn down an earth ship, well, it was probably done by space-based weapons or something like that, because you ain't setting this stuff on fire. When it's at 1,000 degrees and they got it up there forever and a day and it still doesn't burn. So all the people that are out there thinking, okay, man, I need to figure out what I need to build. Son, you went to the Earth Ship Academy. I mean, what did you figure there? I mean, there's not a whole lot of combustibles in those things, are there?
No, you can't. Believe it or not, it's counterintuitive to what you would think, because tires, you know, if you catch tires on fire, like, they're impossible to put out the fire. I think there's a fire burning in California since the 70s or something like that of a tire waste facility. But, Michael, once you ram it with earth and turn it into that brick, they tried to catch some of these on fire. They built fires up against the tire wall. It wouldn't catch fire. They held a blowtorch up against the tire wall. It wouldn't catch fire. The only thing that could possibly catch fire would be like roof materials or like insulation in the roof and things like that. But depending on what you're using, it could be a little bit even more fire retardant and everything. It kind of depends. Just make sure you get that blue metal roof. Weapon proof.
Yeah, so it's laser resistant. Okay. A lot of people in Hawaii are wishing they had those, and a number of other places too, like the California fires. Question. So weeds don't really choke plants. No, go out there, go walk in a forest, go look around, look at the edges. You see everything. And I try not to use the word weeds, but we tend to call them pioneer species because they tell you what you need out there. No, if you have a really good compost pile, you won't see weeds growing out of it either.
But weeds are,
go ahead.
Weeds are just food or medicine you haven't identified yet. And then also there's no, like I said earlier, there's no competition for nutrients. There's no competition for water. In fact, plants will share water whenever one of them is in need. They will share nutrients once you have like the mycelial layers figured out and squared away. The only competition is for sunlight. And a forest will show you that. The only competition is for sunlight.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. With that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip. Be unsanctionable. Our global economy makes us vulnerable to the whims of the demon elites. Almost everything we rely on for our day-to-day survival is controlled by global corporations who prioritize profits over people at every turn. Is this Iran war really just Trump bending over for Satan Yahoo, or is it actually a way to usher in the global control grid even faster? Essentially COVID 2.0 with restrictions on movement and resources. COVID was a huge money grab. Congress has been insider trading forever. They're just not hiding it anymore because they know no one is going to stop them. This is why local community is so critical to survival. You can be an individual simp dependent on the whims of the psychopaths, or you can be a community of pimps with your basic needs locked down. So if the Strait of Hormuz shuts down, you can just keep on rolling. Gas is $10 a gallon. Who cares? Everything I need is all around me. And once your local community is set, you can look towards the larger bioregion. a confederation of permaculture pimps. That's where you can add in local manufacturing, fuel production, whatever else you need. Now, is this easy? No. It's a multi-generational transition because we've been asleep at the wheel for far too long, outsourcing our basic survival to a bunch of demons. We used to accomplish far more with far less. Do you really need 25 horses to match a 25 horsepower tractor? I mean, look what we did with actual horsepower. I'd gladly trade in all my vehicles for a couple donkeys and a cart. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, the official pimp gear of the PimpCast, or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for more information or to support my local permaculture community group, head over to permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog, y'all. I mean, folks, we don't coordinate any of this stuff. I swear, I had no idea what Eric's going to say until I play it and hear it in front of all of y'all. And what did he just say? He echoed exactly what we just said at the very beginning of this thing. Ain't that crazy?
Eric might be Mossad. He's got a staff or something like that. I don't know what's going on.
He's got a what? Man,
he's got a tap or something. I don't know what's going on. He's like on topic every single time.
Yeah, and we don't coordinate this, y'all. He just sends it in, and I don't even hear it until y'all hear it. So, man, I mean, it happens so often, it just blows my mind. So before we move on, hey, Dandelion Greens, King697 says, Dandelion Greens are amazing for magnesium. Amazing. Yes, you are, in fact, right. I'm glad you pointed that out. And they're out everywhere right now, y'all. So put them in your salads. I mean, there's a whole lot of things out there you can be eating right now that they're calling weeds. I mean, people, you know, lamb's quarters for crying out loud, man. Some of these highfalutin restaurants pay a fortune for those. Yeah. So, yeah, you can eat all. All right. EMP Shield 50 bucks off with promo code PERMA. Yeah, 50 bucks off. I'm a journeyman electrician, been one for almost 30 years, y'all. And I'm telling you that of all the transient voltage surge suppressors on the market out there, this is the one I recommend because, you know, it's been tested. It's been tried and tested. And they got an ironclad guarantee that if anything gets Kentucky fried downstream from your box where you have it installed, they're going to cover you for 25 G's. Find me another one out there that's going to cover you like that. Nobody does. That's why I reached out to EMP Shield. They did not reach out to me. And that goes for all of the other advertisers that we got on here. So, yeah, shoot, somebody up here said they just got your shirt, Eric, in the mail. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting Eric out there, buying those shirts and everything, because it's what I wear. It's what I wear, in fact, all the time, except for the one I got on at the present moment. But usually that's all I wear. All right, so we're going to jump right into it. Unusual places to start a guerrilla garden. Folks, you might see a theme in these shows as of late. So many people reach out and they write to me and they say, you know, a lot of them is, you know what, I'm married to a freaking deadbeat. Can you please talk to him? Yeah. And it's usually a woman writing about her husband. Can you please write to him and explain that there's more to this world than Nebraska football or, you know, pick your sport? And to my reply is, I'm sorry for your bad luck, but, you know, he ain't going to listen to me. He doesn't know me. And it's always women writing about this sort of thing.
I'm and just going to call him gay.
Yeah, yeah. Say, get your gay butt up off the couch. Yeah. Say, do you have any testosterone left? Yeah. Can you go use it in the garden? Yeah. It's a shock that that's the place we've come to where I can't even tell you how many women write to me. And the other one is, you know what? I don't have a place where I can grow anything. Folks, that's why I brought up Eric Sider in the last video. I don't care if you live in a postage stamp. I don't care where you live. You can be growing something. Even in the closet, it could be mushrooms. Grow something like Eric did, growing it on the balcony at an apartment. It doesn't even matter. You can find a place, even at a little pond out there, y'all. Yeah. So there are so many different ways you can find to grow food. But, you know, I figured it'd be kind of fun. We never done a show like this where we'd talk about some of the off the beaten paths that we've talked about. I mean, I've talked about a number of them, but we'll just kind of put it in a concise way here. So right off the bat, for those that don't know, guerrilla garden is basically planting on land that you don't own. So right off the bat, I'm going to pick some of the, I mean, there are some obvious ones out there that I've talked about before, but we're going to hit some other ones too. So William doesn't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what he's going to say. So here's one. Rooftops. Yeah, I said it. Let's say you're living. Let's say you're living in a. Oh shoot. Let's say it's a high rise in New York or whatever the case. There's a whole lot of rooftops up there that aren't being used right now. You could be growing. You could be. You could have bees up there. There's a lot of places. Even in Asheville, there's a brewery where they have. They're using the roof of that place to put all of their hives. Okay, not a bad spot. There's a whole lot of gardens happening on rooftops. I mean, Eric talked about how you could do it in the windowsill. You can do it on the balcony. You can do it in all these different places. But about the rooftop, and also it's a secure place that a lot of people are just not going to stumble up there. So think about the rooftop, son. What do you got?
Another added benefit of a rooftop and putting bees up there is the harvest part. So whenever you harvest the honey and the frames from the honey, it's super, it's solid, it's heavy, and it's like kind of cumbersome, but you're always going down with it instead of trying to haul it up somewhere. So whenever I do consultations, I try to tell people, like, depending on how steep the terrain is and everything, I always try to put the bees higher in the landscape than where they're going to be processing the honey. And a rooftop is a fantastic location for that. The next one I have sent, and this kind of applies particularly in the area where I live. Back, it was before Helene, I was rucking through the town of DeKalb trying to get more familiar with the town of DeKalb doing 75 hard. There are so many doggone abandoned houses and everything like that. Like, I could get in the backyard, do a full-blown, leave the perimeter nice and weedy and overgrown, and have a full-blown garden back there. And nobody would even notice. Most of these people don't even notice that these houses are abandoned. And then the ones who do know it's abandoned are never going to notice that I'm having a garden back there in the back. And if they ever do find out, if I were to do that, if they were ever to find out, I would just offer them some of the harvest. And then chances are they probably wouldn't have any issues with it. Now, if you don't offer any of the harvest and they see you growing food in a place that they don't have access to, then the jealousy will come out and they'll probably try to report you. But there's so many abandoned, there's an abandoned house across the street from me. I could go over there and talk to the dude who mows it and be like, "Hey, I have some plants planted over here. Please don't mow them down." And that's less he has to mow. So yeah, look for abandoned properties or even like lots in your area that you could go and grow food in. On to you, Dad.
Yeah. Low-lying wet spots that most people avoid. Now, this is one, I'm thinking one from a tactical standpoint. Most people never want to get their shoes wet, ever. And they're not walking around wearing muck boots like I am. Speaking of those boots, yeah, Sam, what are they? High-C boots. I mean, those things are fantastic. Because most people never, ever, ever want to get their feet wet. They're not going to go in those places. So maybe you want to plant some stuff down there that might like, you know, those wet conditions. You might think about that. Or maybe you got to walk across that wet area to get to where you're planting stuff that aren't in the wet area. But most people will not go out there with mud boots and they ain't going to get their shoes wet. So that's, if you find a natural barrier between you and what you want to grow, absolutely, positively do it.
Now, on that note, Lou, you were talking about low-lying wet spots and everything like that. Rivers and creeks or ponds, things like that, like lakes. If you were to go to Texas, has so many doggone, Texas and Oklahoma and even Arkansas to a certain extent have so many doggone man-made lakes, and a lot of them are massive. There's a one in Texarkana called Wright Patman Lake. I could find all kinds of locations along that lake. Now, I don't live close to it, so that would be a bit of a hindrance there. But I could find all kinds of locations, like right on the edge of the lake, to grow a full-blown garden, like just food. And then nobody would ever, ever bother me. You might have some fishermen that come up and start fishing that area of the bank because there's an increased fish there, because there's increased food there, because you planted food and increased the insects, which, you know, feed the fish and everything. But yeah, lakes, rivers, creeks, like right along the edge. And let's say you're going through your drought period and it's time to water your garden. You're right there next to your water source. You could bring like a little DC pump with you, or you could just bring a watering can, go fill it up, and then go water your garden if you wanted to. Or if you really wanted to get into the gorilla mindset, you could build a little mini chinampa jutting into the pond or the lake. And you could be growing your food there. It's a South American method of like growing food on the actual, it's like a little floating island where you, like peninsula that you grow your food on, and you can harvest it by boat if you wanted to. Yeah, there's a bunch of options around bodies of water that nobody's taking advantage of. On to you. And then also added benefit, you have that warmer microclimate, or that stable, that temperature stable microclimate around that body of water. So if you have like late spring frost, it's going to protect your garden that way. And then it'll extend your growing season going into fall as well, because it's going to be warmer around that body of water.
Son, was that yours, or were you piggybacking on mine?
That was mine.
Okay, because I also have that one on my list where I was thinking, okay, there are so many areas of these lakes that are so inaccessible that if you did have a boat and you were out there anyway, well, you could just put in the grid coordinates or just put a marker out there and know exactly where you need to go. And most of these fishermen are never going to get off that boat and go up in there. You could be back in there a little bit, clear out a spot. I mean, there's some really good spots alongside of a lake, really good spots. And like I said, and like William said, you know, these are just not things that people are going to explore. All right. So I'm going to also say, and this one, I'm going to tell you, this is, I hope it's going to open up the minds of a whole lot of people out there. I'm going to say in plain sight. Now, what do I mean by that? I was caught a few years back. I was doing a guerrilla gardening video and I was planting on this guy's ground. I talked about it before. I didn't know it was his ground. He comes walking up with a dog and I just thought it was some hoople-headed Marchie from Asheville. He says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Minding my own business. What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I own this property." So I started singing a different tune, like, "Oh, yeah, sorry, man," because I just had an interaction with some other lunatic that was messing with me. So I was a little bit, he understood. So here's what happened. Here I was in plain sight, and I'm planting on his property, which I thought was just public easement, and I was planting sweet potatoes. He asked what I was doing. When I explained it, by the time it was all said and done, he gave me the entire acre that I could plant. And he said, if I made good there, he had 5 acres across town. He'd give me that. And if I made good on that, I got other. He didn't care on the other 5 acres. He didn't even care if I ran animals. He didn't care what I did with it. It was just vacant land just sitting there in Asheville, North Carolina, 5 acres that he would let me have the run of. Folks, you don't need to own the land. You just need to control it. There's so many places out there, and this is on my list too, but I'll go ahead and cover it here as well. Well, no, I'll wait because it's a pretty important. I'll give it its own space. But yeah, doing it in plain sight. Folks, if I planted sweet potatoes in a lot of places, most people are going to think it's just some ornamental vine that they can't do anything with. Man, you can eat everything on a sweet potato. You can eat the slips. You can eat it all. And I'm going to show you exactly how I do that this year. So there's so many different ways, so many things you could do when it comes to sweet potatoes. Eric even grew them out there with the intention of not actually eating the sweet potato, but eating the slips. He was going to put them in a stir fry or something like that. So there's so many different places. You can do it in plain sight. Now, you might want to do it when there's not a whole lot of traffic there. So nobody really, or you could, because they may just think you're the gardener. You could be planting a lot of this stuff in plain sight, and most people would walk right past it. You could be planting carrots, onions, all of it around these places in plain sight. So yeah, that's a wide berth there, but I think it gives you liberty to do it anywhere you can.
The landscaping around banks. I say banks specifically because you don't really go to a bank where it's like run down and crappy. If they're on a piece of land, and they usually have landscaping, but not only do they have landscaping, they have irrigation and sprinklers for those landscaping. So you're going to have to be careful about how you do it. And you're going to have to be kind of picky on what plants you pick. You're going to go with more perennial varieties than you would annual varieties in like a bank's landscaping. The perennials will blend right in, like plant in a bunch of blueberries, a bunch of fruit trees, things like that. Those are all going to be fine. And then the landscapers who come and maintain the area, they're not going to view that as like a weed. They're going to view that they're probably, having been a landscaper, they're not even going to notice that particular plant or even what it is. They're just going to know it's an existing plant that I can't cut down with a weed eater, or it's not a weed or anything like that. But if you did like blueberries, if you did peach trees, apple trees, all kinds of stuff, I could fill, there's a Red River Credit Union over here in Texarkana. I could fill their entire landscaped area with food, and I guarantee you nobody would even notice. People would notice peaches on the ground and not even connect the dots between, oh, that came from that tree that was right next to me. People could go in with a snack, deposit some money into their bank, or just pull all their money out of the bank and go buy silver and gold if they wanted to. But you can completely hijack a bank's landscaping, because it's there, it's being maintained, because banks landscaping banks, they can't be looking crummy. They can't be looking like they're, you know, not doing well or anything. The irrigation, the landscaping, free maintenance that you don't even have to worry about. Then all you have to do is go harvest. The only downside is that you're going to have to go with more perennial instead of annual production. On to you, Dad.
Years ago, I worked at the Leavenworth VA Hospital doing electric work, okay? And there's so much land out there, folks, it'll blow your mind. If anybody goes out there, if anybody's listening and is in that vicinity, first of all, don't go in the hospital to be treated. Don't ever go in there if you can possibly avoid it. But if you go to the grounds building and you go, if you shoot an azimuth on your compass, let's say going somewhere around, oh, northeast from the grounds building, you walk long enough, you're going to come into a food forest that I planted years ago. And I'll bet money it's still there. I mean, there was a clearing back in the woods that nobody knew about, and I planted a bunch of stuff back there. And it's probably there to this day. So do you think maybe you might be able to do the very same thing? Maybe get up there in Google Earth or whatever and find out, huh, here's a place that might, there might not be anything going on there. This is on land I didn't even own. And folks, I'm telling you, I'm giving you all examples of things that I've done. I put, I don't even know how many apples and pears and all kinds of things back in there. And they were doing really good when I left. So I'll bet money to this day, unless they clear cut the entire thing, which I doubt they have. There was a lot of guys I knew that were mushroom hunting back there. Look, they're after mushrooms. And if they're after those apples or whatever, I planted so many and they were doing so great. They're probably doing just fine to this day, helping a whole lot of wildlife or anybody that wants to go by them and pick them up. So yeah, there's an orchard up there. And you think that might give you a little bit of idea? I mean, you know, a national park, whatever the case may be, get off the beaten path a little bit and you'd be shocked. Find a clearing, use Google Earth, find a clearing out there, or one it wouldn't take much for you to exploit. What could you grow back there? Are there some perennial things out there? Plus, it's just fun to do. All right, son, kicking it back to you.
No, I would, slight tweak. I wouldn't use Google Earth. I would use an app called OnX Hunt, and it's going to give you much more information. Like, you'll find off-road, like, roads, unofficial roads you'll find on there. You'll also get, like, contour lines, and so is the place even accessible? Like, you might find, like, a bear spot on Google Earth, and then you go to OnX Hunt, and you're like, oh, snap, that's the peak of a 10,000-foot mountain, something like that. So maybe inaccessible. Yeah, OnX Hunt, or off-road, either one. But yeah, and you, there's a free version and then a paid version. I use the paid version, but I also use it in every consultation. You could still get quite a bit done with the free version, and you can mark routes back to that location if you wanted to as well. Or if you need to tell somebody else how to get there, you can walk that path, have it track your trail, and they can follow that same trail if you wanted to as well. It's a very handy app. The next one I have is churches. And this is a bit of a sore spot for me because I tried to work with one of the, there's a church here in DeKalb, Texas that has about 11 total acres. None of it is being used for any kind of food production. Like, I would say 3/4 of it is pasture that literally just gets mowed, nothing. And then the rest of it is like new growth forest. Nothing's being done with that. If you could team up with the church and either like do it and then inform them later, hey, this is what I'm doing. I tried to team up with church. They wouldn't work with me at all. I was trying to do a full-blown garden and run sheep and chickens out there for, they do like a food bank. They do a food bank once a month where people come through in brand new vehicles and get a whole bunch of like free food basically. And I was trying to supplement that with like actual fresh food, because the most they get is like canned, you know, crap, probably like the cheapest, just short of dog food. In fact, dog food might be cleaner than some of the food that they're handing out at food banks. Not blaming them or anything. It's just that's the quality of our food in America. I tried to team up with them, try to grow like a massive garden out there. And then also try to run animals out there, and it just got shut down every single time. But if you could team up with the church, there's a church in Asheville that actually has a community garden out in front. I think it's off Merriman. I think it's off Merriman Road in Asheville. So if you're going to visit Asheville, or if you live in Asheville, go check out that garden in front of that church. I wish they would make it a little bit bigger. but it's still a good start. Like, it's a fantastic start. But yeah, churches, see if you can team up with churches, and you might even have a better luck if you say, hey, I'll contribute a certain percentage to your food bank.
Yeah, on that point, there was a church I used to attend, tried to team up with them. They had a bunch of vacant land right here in the mountains. And I was like, man, do you know how many pigs I can raise over here? And the pastor, when I hit him up about it, it was like, you know, man, you're living in a place where people are like, you know, you go by the, they just don't want it. And I'm like, okay, what would it take to, you know, get this from you guys? I mean, or at least rent it or something. And they didn't even really want to have the conversation. So yeah, that could be a double-edged sword, and people would much rather have just grass growing for absolutely no reason whatsoever. And if you folks, if you knew the whole notion of a lawn and where that even came from, is just an extension of the New Atlantis from Sir Francis Bacon. And here we are, we have idiotic lawns that don't serve any function at all when we could be having seriously functional landscapes that actually do something. So, Brenz, it was pretty cool to see, she planted something at a truck stop, cherry and peach, and they're still there. So that's pretty cool. They produce too. So that's Sioux Falls, South Dakota. All right. So my last one here, and this is another one that I can, folks, everything I'm telling you is for the most part is stuff I've actually done. Commercial buildings. Check this out. When we first started this channel, I mean, we've been farming long before then, but when we started this channel, I was still working about 2.5 hours away from my home. And I, at this place, I was working as an electrical inspector, and we built a bunch of stuff that goes in these data centers. Well, I'm working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, sometimes even 16 hour days, a couple of times 24 hour days. But I was doing all that with the expectation that I wanted to get myself out of the rat race. We had already gotten Michelle out. We'd gotten William out, and I was picking up the rear. So I was working my butt up one side and down the other 7 days a week. And I worked weeks on end. So anyway, I said, I got an idea. They got this land right out in front of this place. What if I turn that into a little food forest? Well, I got permission, and they were cool with it. And then right after that, I ended up bringing chickens on the job. Folks, we're talking a construction site. And I got chickens out there in the food forest, the whole 9 yards. To this day, the food forest is still kicking, still producing fruit, the whole 9 yards. Anyway, when I did that, let's say all the land put together that I had access to might have been a half acre. When it was all said and done, folks, this is blowing my mind. The people that had the parole office next door, and this is what I'm talking about, commercial buildings. It was an industrial kind of park, but there was a parole office next door, which was kind of handy if you knew the guys I worked with. And they had 5 acres out there. They hit me up one day when they saw me working the chickens and said, hey, we got 5 acres over here, man. You think you can do that over here? I'm like, absolutely. All right. So there's another 5 acres. So it's 5.5 acres at that point. Then there was a farmer who had another 30 acres over there, or actually the shop I was working for purchased the 30 acres over there, but they only needed a footprint of about 1.5 acres. So I had another 30 acres on top of it. If I wanted, now, had I stayed there, folks, you don't even want to start thinking about the kind of food I could have been producing out there. So here it is, almost 40 acres of land that I don't own, but I control every bit of it. You think there's a win-win out of there? Even the people in that parole office, they're like, man, we want you to do out here what you've done over there. I'm like, can I run my sheep? Can I bring sheep? They're like, absolutely. And they were. And by that time, I had enough guys on the job that were enlisted to help me out when I couldn't be there. So it turned out to be quite the adventure. So folks, commercial properties out there, industrial parks, you look, I got no problem hearing the word no, but you got to ask the question. Okay. So that was my last one, son. Go ahead.
My last one it's not a surprise, but your local community, like your next door neighbor, how many of us even know who our next door neighbor is? I mean, in my particular case, I wish I didn't know my next door neighbor, but that's a unique scenario. Go to your next door neighbor or reach out to the community saying, hey, I want to grow food. I don't have land. You know how many people, whenever I said, like, we need to, made the announcement on one of the videos, one of my videos saying, like, we're trying to flee Texas. I got a bunch of emails saying, yeah, we're right there with you. Texas is better in the brochure, as Dad says. But there were also a bunch of people that reached out to me that were typically elderly couples that spent their entire life doing their version of homesteading or farming, large acreage, had all the equipment that they needed, but they're just getting too old for it, and they're looking for people to take that role, to fill that role, to so that like something their land is still in production and they can teach the next generation. They're just not able to find anybody. It's like there's a disconnect between the people who are looking for land, who want to grow food, that are young, and the people who have been there, done that, getting, they're kind of aging out, and they're wanting, somebody needs to be there and like connect the two. I've connected a pair before in the past, but I think it'd be awesome if somebody set up like a some sort of website where you could put in an application for wanting land, and then another person put in an application of I have land and here are the requirements and things like that. But talk to your next door neighbor. If they have just grass, or especially if they're an elderly couple, or if they even have a small garden themselves, and you just ran out of space in your garden, maybe talk to them and say, hey, can I garden both properties? I promise to take care of it. Get everything in writing, or like a verbal agreement with a recording or something like that, just so everybody's on the same page. But see if you can just, like, it's close. That doesn't get much better as far as guerrilla gardening and zoning as it does right next door to you. Or if you're in a townhouse and you're trying to talk to the houses across the street that might have more land. Yeah, see if you can team up with just your next door neighbor, if at all possible. And see if they'll let you grow food.
On that point, also have your own thing squared away so you have something to show them. Show them what you're doing. Make sure you work at zone zero first and then zone one. Make sure you get your own place squared away and grow as much as you can there. So all these people that are thinking, I don't know, you know, okay, why are you wanting to farm my land if you haven't done anything at yours? So make sure you got your own place squared away before you even reach out. Maximize. I mean, grow in layers, grow in levels, grow in all these different ways. Curtis Stone, somebody else pointed out, that's how Curtis Stone started in his thing. You know, it's, and it, there are more people that will say yes than you realize. Absolutely more than you know, folks. There are so many resources out there, so many different ways, so many ways you can have land to farm, and you don't even need to own it. You just need to have a track record, keeping your word, and actually going out there, something they can see. Because had I stayed there, folks, I probably have well over a couple of hundred acres by now, because what I was doing was starting to get out. And once, because what, when I designed it, I was thinking, okay, well, shoot, I could eventually quit this job and work on this full time. And I was going to plan on doing like a share, a meat share with the people that worked there who wanted in on it. People were so jazzed up. And then plus they saw me out there in my spare time. And believe me, I didn't have a whole lot when I'm working a 12-hour day. Seven 12s. And this is the stuff they saw. And when I was done with the 12-hour day, I'd go over there because I was living on the work site. I had my fifth wheel there, and I was actually living in close proximity to the work site. I was over there building, tractors for chickens and stuff like that. I was doing all this different stuff, and they saw it. And it was inspiring to the people that were there. And they were thinking, man, how on earth is this guy working this kind of, and so they saw my perseverance and they thought, man, this guy really loves the farm, man. Let's see what we can do to help him. So before it was all said and done, I mean, that was 40 acres that I had right there at my fingertips. Folks, I mean, do you have any idea the blessing that is? You know, you don't want to start out with that overnight, but show what you can do, build on something. You know, there's so many examples in the Bible, even, where you were trusted with a little bit. Now let's give you a little bit more. Once they can see what you're doing, folks, you'd be shocked at how many doors just open wide up. And all they want is somebody that's going to look at it and manage it properly. All right, son, anything else to add?
Specifically Brenda, please reach out to me. She left a comment saying that's exactly why I build 5-acre mini homesteads and give them away. Lots of people that want to do it, but have no place to do it. There are so many people that reach out to me saying, hey, I'm in the process of looking for land. Like they just quite literally are working towards buying land or don't really see a way where they can afford it at the moment. But any land that you're trying to give away, let's work together on that. There's people reaching out to me looking for land. And if you have the available land, we could, of course, vet them properly, make sure we're not getting any like nincompoops on your property or anything like that. But, and then also the other 40 acres, you guys are saying you guys are tree protectors. I get it. Yeah. Less trees, more forests. Let's build some healthy ecosystems. Man, that's amazing. That's awesome to hear, Brenda.
All right, y'all, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank everybody in the chat. I want to thank everybody out there. And hey, if you would spread this stuff around, y'all, these are things that really need to, I mean, this is stuff that needs to get heard by so many people out there. It can be a lot of fun doing this work, and it also can keep you alive at a time where things are just getting weirder and weirder every single day. But we're not going to focus on that. You know the deal, y'all. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling that just truth, truth, truth. We got the answers. All we need to do. Listen to the earth that got us through. Plant the seeds of the shame. Watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin. In the cycle of life, for the magic. Line.